Time for our local hero. Take two.
We're including that in the edit.
Oh, you know it.
This is our first rodeo. Thanks.
Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks, and Smith College Dining's Andy Cox, who is the executive director of auxiliary services, as well as Herman Alvarado, the culinary director. It just so happens that it is school lunch week. Congressman McGovern, who I spoke to yesterday about it, introduced some legislation to try to get more fresh, healthy food into mostly public school and grade school, high school students. But Smith, private school in Northampton, has been doing this for how long? You kind of started this program, right?
I picked up where the last director left off. Uh-huh. I think it was in 2015, the students were really advocating for more local food in the campus, and we did an audit. We were at about 9%. Of our food was coming locally, which was above the national average, right? So I think it was 3% is your national college. And they encouraged the president at the time, we have a new president now, President McCartney, to sign a commitment to be at 20% by 2020. We had a goal set, and so we were working towards that, and we increased to 13, then 19, and then we got 24, 26, hit 30. So yeah, we've continued to grow.
And it continues to grow with, I'm assuming, the relatively new culinary director, Herman Alvarado. How long have you been the culinary director there?
So I started in January. I've been at Smith for 10 years now. And prior to this role, I was a chef, a floater chef, which means I was at all the major events. I helped open up our sushi house at Smith. And overall, just kind of wherever they needed me, I'd pop in and do whatever was needed.
So when I think about colleges, I think about young folks coming for the first time, leaving home, and they come to a new place, they're semi on their own, and all the comfort food is gone from home, though they're not going to tell their parents that. So I'm kind of curious, like, how does Smith sort of welcome people in with food, and how's food used for all that?
What's great about Smith is we have so many options. Unlike other schools, we have 10 kitchens, you know, and we're able to provide a gluten-free house. We have a vegan, vegetarian house.
When you say house, it's, you know, there's a kind of a main dining area, but then the different residences for the different students have their own
kitchens
unique kitchens with with a different vibe. But all the students can go to whatever house makes sense to them, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's like mini restaurants all over campus, which is kind of fun. Yeah.
And then this year we were doing a stir-fry station where students could do a DUI stir-fries.
Uh-huh.
So we expanded that concept into every week we'd switch it up. So we'll have like a broth bowl, we'll have a grain bowl, and then we'll have a pasta, and each of those concepts, they're DIY, so it's a great learning opportunity for students to make their own food and also to kind of make it the way they want it. It's hard when you're providing for so many students to customize it, so they're able to do that.
With the pop-ups that you do, are any of them instructional, like classes that students can take in order to learn how to make better food?
I mean, Julia Child went there, right? So you got to assume that people know how to cook.
Guess what she learned afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So far, it's been more of, you know, us coming up with these menus and then showcasing them. Basically, we provide all these vegetables and proteins, and then we are able to say, you can make this dish if you combine these three ingredients. And then we have a chef there that helps, you know, any student that needs assistance.
We've also partnered with the wellness department to do cooking classes. We did it for 3 years up until the pandemic. I think it's coming back this year, too, right? So they're going to...
Cool. We're communicating with them, possibly doing, like, a demonstration with pizzas. And then they can, you know, kind of create their own pizzas and have a discussion.
So let us know when that happens, because we do a thing called Pizza Quest, and we'll just come in and judge.
We'll judge them judge them harshly.
Are there, like, newsletters or bulletins that go out to all the students so everybody knows what house what has what during the week, and you can just kind of plan out where you're map out where you're going for each meal?
So we do online, we have our menus, trying to make sure that because we are so decentralized that we provide menus that are equally popular around campus, that way not one house gets hit. And that's a challenge that we have, and that's been a major part of my job, is being able to figure out menus that work for everybody, including the students and the kitchen staff.
We're speaking with Herman Alvarado, the culinary director at Smith College, as well as Andy Cox, the executive director of auxiliary services. They're formerly the culinary director at Smith College, and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks. We heard a little bit about what Andy did in his tenure there to try to raise the amount of local food that was coming to Smith College campus above and beyond the goal set. What's your vision
I will see her before Andy will see her.
Do you have to remind him of that?
Yes.
I've been here way longer than you, Andy.
So it's just a great foundation to walk into.
I've seen the progression since he's been our director, where he did bring in all these local foods. And for us, it's been great because it's a sense of pride. And also, we know that the food tastes better. We know that there's more nutrition in it. And also that we are helping our community. That alone, it's a great impact to us. And so I've seen that change progress every year. So I want to work with Andy to continue that trend. My focus has been on the food and being able to provide plant-based options, which is trending, but as well as keeping it authentic when we bring in global cuisines. You know, and with that, you know, it's incorporating all these local products wherever we can find. If we're able to get it local, that would be the ideal place we'd like to move forward.
Are there ingredients that you're constantly on the search for? And on the flip side of that, are there farms that approach you knowing that they have something you may have been looking for that you haven't had?
I've been surprised, for the most part, how much is available around here. You know, for a lot of, like, Latino cuisine, we're able to get dried chilies that you would use for any of our soups or stocks or sauces, as well as some of the condiments. Every year we have this program called International Students Day, where a lot of the organizations from Smith College bring in recipes from home, and then they try to replicate it. And so we're working on that next year. But part of that challenge is there's these ingredients that we've never heard of or seen before.
Yeah.
And so when we can, we try and find those locally. But it is a challenge. And so sometimes we might have to change a recipe to use a local ingredient and still have those flavors in there.
Is it difficult as a college, feeding how many people about a day?
2,500.
2,500 people a day to source from a variety of local farms? How does it work? Do they deliver it to Smith? Do you send a truck out that goes and hits all the farms?
Individual student has to go to the farm themselves.
Yes. That's a lot
really complicated.
On top of academics to do.
Yeah.
Andy Cox is the executive director of auxiliary services at Smith.
Yeah, so we work directly with a number of farms, but we also use aggregators. So Marty's Local and Deerfield will aggregate for us. An example is Kitchen Garden. So when we buy sriracha, they're going to deliver that direct, like cases at a time. Yep, nice.
I'm wearing a Kitchen Garden farm under my absolutely insane-looking sweater that has two leopards on it. But yes, I love that farm.
Right, but if we're getting
sriracha.
And they were actually doing bulk pack salsa for us as well.
Excellent salsa, too, by the
way.
Which
is available retail, but they make gallons of it, too. But if we're buying fresh produce, we're going to aggregate that through Marty's, and they'll be able to go to all the different houses. Saves times for the farmer not having to make 10 different stops at every one of the different houses.
And I'm imagining, because how many chefs do you work with, Herman?
I have 25 chefs.
Yeah, so that you all don't have time to cook for 2,500 people with 25 chefs and then go get this stuff. So it all just comes right to you and you work with what comes in?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I know, Herman, that you shared with me previously that you actually started one of your major work life careers originally was graphic design. How do you go from graphic designer to cooking for 2,500 people?
As a child, you know, art was just what I did. That was how I defined myself, you know, working with my hands, sculpting. So, you know, growing up, that's where I thought I would end up. So I went to school, but to pay for school, I had to work at a restaurant. I started off over at Esalon Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
I was their first employee that they hired.
Oh, cool. Hadley on Route 9.
Yep. And so what happened is just like food. It's art, to be honest. You're working with your hands. It's creativity. I really enjoyed doing it. I was really good at it. And I moved up the ranks, you know, the hard way. But I felt like I got a great perspective. What food, you know, is. It's comfort. It's, you know, nutrition. It's creativity. And a lot of it is just teamwork in the kitchen. That was probably the best part of working in kitchens, to be honest. You know, it's a hard job. You know, 120 degrees, poaching eggs or on the stove. And you got to have a great team.
Poaching like 8 tables worth of eggs.
Yeah. I think I did about 28 poached eggs all at once.
Yeah.
That was the record at that point.
Yeah, I don't miss breakfast service. It's the easiest and yet the hardest somehow at the same time. Every kitchen is a pirate crew. Your plating must be amazing.
Well, you know, after I left Esalon, I went over to California and I worked at a high-end restaurant with some chefs that worked at Michelin Stars. They were very strict on plating, and all the things had to be exactly perfectly cut. If not, I would have to start all over again. You know, when I finished my shift, my chef coat had to be spotless, white. You know, it was a whole different vibe and mentality going there. So when I moved back here to Massachusetts, I wasn't able to find a restaurant that was at that level, and my friend worked at Smith College, and so he introduced me to it, and honestly, it's been one of the best moves I've ever made. I've been exposed to so many different cuisines that I wouldn't have at, you know, at those restaurants. I've been able to work on my baking, sushi skills, you know, a little bit of everything. It's been great.
Yeah, speaking of baking, you acknowledged there is something, some treat that you have brought here.
I did,
What did you bring, Herman?
So this is a carrot cake that I want to give a little shout out and credit to our Gillette crew. It's carrots from Outlook, and then flour from Ground Up, and then a little bit of maple in our cream cheese from
North Hadley Sugar Shack.
Yeah, nice.
It's delicious, and it's just all the flavors come out.
Well, I think
the important question here is raisins.
Are there raisins?
Yes! That's the right answer.
I'm also not a fan of raisins and carrot cake.
I have to fight with my partner about this. They'll get raisin bread and then put raisins on top of the raisin bread just to spite me.
Yeah.
She will probably add something unnecessary like raisins.
I know, right?
We're speaking with Andy Cox, Executive Director of Auxiliary Services at Smith, and Herman Alvarado, the Culinary Director at Smith, who are about to eat their carrot cake. But if, let's say, we were students at Smith, what would be something that is exciting on the menu today?
Oh, so that's actually a great question. Today happens to be a special event. So we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
So we're it's a pop-up, you know. We kind of have to create pop-ups so that all the students don't come into these two kitchens. but we're competing with salmon, so it,
so you have salmon in one house, but then the Hispanic Heritage Month pop-ups
in
another.
Salmon, okay, I would cool. say it's
that's
a popular
maybe a couple
dishes.
Houses. That's good. Make these decisions hard for them.
But it's great. I sat down with the LASA organization, and they gave me a spreadsheet of a bunch of dishes that they had came up with and would love to, you know, see. So we picked and chose ones that made sense for the menu for, you know, our kitchen. So we have a couple different drinks, horchata.
Nice.
We have Morir Soñando, a Dominican drink, and cantaloupe fresco. And then for our entree is pernil, Puerto Rican.
Yeah, pernil.
Right there with some arroz con gandules, fried yuca, and some like nice zucchini that we roast with a little bit of chili and tapioca gojita. So it should be a special event.
My wife works in the Spanish department at Smith, so she's going to have to get me a to-go container or something like that.
With the amount of local produce that you get in, has it been hard this year maintaining that level of produce that you usually receive?
Because of all the flooding and things that went on this year.
I would say, our single largest farm partner is Outlook. And they're sort of perched up on a hill. And
in West Hampton,
orchard,
right?
West Hampton, yeah. I mean, we've been buying for over 60 years. Spend almost $100,000 a year just with them.
Wow.
And they will aggregate for us, too, sometimes. So they'll go to Joe Sikowski and if they don't have it. So I don't know that we have felt the impact as much from that. We'll also use Marty's a lot. So they'll sort of switch for us. A lot of our direct partners are more shelf-stable. So we buy, like, flour from Ground Up and dairy, maple syrup, and even meat, right? So we use, like, beef from Poplar Hill Farm. So that's less impacted by weather events.
And Andy, over time, I think you've had to think about the infrastructure at Smith College in order to source more locally. Can you just share a little bit about how you've done that?
Sure. Yeah. So we actually got a grant from the Henry P. Kendall Foundation, the New England Food Vision Prize. So we aggregated with a few other colleges to do an RFP for meat. So, right. So we did a request for proposal, sent it out to farmers saying, what price do you need to hit if you were to sell to institutions, if we guaranteed a volume and we paid for the processing ourselves because we need special processing? Like, we don't want a 4-pack of hamburgers. We need bulk.
Right.
we don't want individual steaks. We want roast. So we worked with Westfield State and Amherst and Mount Holyoke to sort of go to farm and say, you tell us the price, we'll take care of the rest. And we worked with Adams Farm and now New England Meatpacking, Connecticut, to do all the processing. And so we took, you said, you just drop it off and tell us your price. And we were able to just contract large whole animal purchases through that. But as part of the grant, we needed a big place to store this. So we got 2 trailer freezers installed. We got a big smoker so we could like make our own bacon and ham hocks.
Nice.
Yes. And then a refrigerated van to sort of distribute amongst ourselves. And we were getting all this meat delivered right when the pandemic hit and we sent all of our students home.
So here, take a steak. Stay good on the plane.
But we held that commitment for all of our farmers, and our farmers were so appreciative that they had an outlet. This is before the shortage in meat and that followed in the supply chain issues. So, but we were grateful to have all of that. bad, especially since now all of it's slaughtered halal as well, which can be
literally
more
was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was so difficult to get halal meat, and we were just swimming in it. It was great.
Uh-huh.
Not literally.
I think that they can then make it not halal anymore.
But it's been a great source for, because we now run two kitchens that are halal.
That's amazing. It's an exciting experience. And even if you're not a student, you can go to these kitchens, right? Not all of them or not anymore? Andy Cox.
They're in residential houses. You need to be on a board plan.
But there is a centralized kitchen that I've had lunch at several times.
Yeah, the Campus Center Cafe. So we run two retail shops.
Yeah, okay.
That also, are buying the same products, have access to the same vendors. So the Campus Center Cafe, and we run a little cafe in Nielsen, the new library. It's called Compass Cafe.
Oh, nice.
And that is where Herman was prior to that. They offer sushi every day, as well as some poke bowls and some other.
So either make friends with a Smithy or go to these two open places.
Make friends with Smithies. You need to know people younger than you anyway.
Should we, before we wrap this up, should we stuff our face with a little bit of this carrot cake? Okay.
And as we're doing that, Herman, I know that you were sharing with me that growing up, you had a lot of culinary prowess in your family.
I did, yeah. Growing up, I have five aunts and my grandmother, who's turning 100 next month.
Whoa!
I would say they're all amazing chefs. Mm. You know, so when they get together, it was always a celebration. Every Saturday, we decided to do, a cookout to kind of raise money for our family. And so it became so popular that we'd probably get around 100 people to show up, and we had it going for about a year. So food for me, like I said, it's really always been community. You know, my uncle was a DJ, so we had music, we had food. You know, everybody knew us. We were the place to be because we were welcoming, we had food, and if you couldn't pay for it, it's fine.
Where was this?
So I grew up, I was born and raised in California.
Uh-huh.
And Herman, have you taken on your five aunts since you've become a chef?
I have not, no. But I would say my mom does give me a call and say, hey, I made pozole or I made, and I'm there.
Nice.
And all my siblings are there. And it's just like when we were kids, that's what food is about. And it's what I want to bring to Smith, building that community. And when it's great, we have so many international students, and so having this program like ISD where we're able to bring in those recipes and then possibly incorporate those into our menus.
The carrot cake is delicious.
It's amazing. God.
So nice and moist. And the
building
the
community, one carrot cake at a time.
There we go.
I love it.
Herman Alvarado, the culinary director at Smith College, and Andy Cox, the executive director of auxiliary services at Smith College, and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, who gave Smith College an award a couple years ago about how committed they are to supporting local agriculture. You can find out more about all of our local heroes at buylocalfood.org.
Easiest way to show somebody you care is to feed them.
Mm-hmm.